Plenty still to come on RSA 927. Summer breakfast throughout the morning. Phil Liggett, Craig Foster, Manus Labuschagne and Peter Johnston all to join us later on in the morning. But now time to talk tennis with Craig Gabriel, who, tell you what, you must be tired after 3 days because, well, in, heading into day three, because it is a long time. I spent all day yesterday watching the tennis, about 16 hours.
You didn't come and visit?
No, I watched it from home in the air conditioning. It was a bit hot to me out there. I don't know how these people sit in the sun all day and watch tennis. Melt sitting on their seats. They get up and the seat had come with them. It was stifling at times yesterday, but probably not as hot as it could have been. Only 26 today, which is good news for the players. Let's start with Nick Kyrgios last night. What did you take out of the straight sets loss?
Yeah, there were opportunities for Nick in that match. Mm. First set was tight, then that second set, he had a situation where maybe he could have slipped ahead. The knee was troubling him. And the physio was out there once, taping it out. It looked like a heavy taping, and then Nick's ripping that off later on. He, as he put it, and you could see it, the way Milos played. Milos went into that match knowing that this was going to be a dicey situation with the crowd, knowing what it was, who he had across the net. And he went out all guns blazing and played an outstanding match. Should 30 he? Aces. I think the 30th ace was on match point.
Yes, and one double. 30 and
yeah.
one.
That's, I mean, that's wicked. Yeah. That is wicked. Nick only had 15. So normally he'll have a massive number of aces, but Raonic played outstandingly well, really did.
The standard that Raonic played at last night, was that sort of quarterfinal standard?
It's interesting you ask that, Andrew, because that particular point was put to Kyrgios, and he sort of hedged a bit. He said, yeah, he played incredibly well, but he said there are a lot of players at that top level. I guess you're talking about the likes of a Federer or Djokovic, that capacity would still get on top of Raonic.
Okay. Nick Kyrgios, was this a lesson for him that if he doesn't put in a preseason like others do, that he'll never make it deep in the second week? Do you think he'll learn a bit from this Australian Open? First time he's ever gone out
in the first round. Yeah. It's his earliest exit at the Australian Open, which is very disappointing in particular. I think it's more a case of he needs to get his ranking up. I don't think it's just the off-season. I think he needs to be he has to have consistent results through the year to maintain a ranking up there that's going to give him a seeding. I think it was more that fact and the danger of running into a name at the first couple of rounds was more the issue.
Do you think he should be aiming for this deep in the second week, though?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely he should be aiming for that.
So where do you think he thinks he's at the moment?
Well, getting the runs of the board, getting that consistency going, being able to play without any sort of injuries and being physically fit to be able to move around on the court to counteract some of these serves. If you're hampered by a knee situation and you feel you haven't got that extra step, that's going to cause problems.
Well, it's a strange one, isn't it? Because for me, Nick Kyrgios has all the makings of a top 10 tennis player.
Well, Johnny Mack said he's the most talented player he's seen in the last decade.
That's right. And it just comes back to no preseason. He's already come out and said that he doesn't want to play too much throughout the year. Well, he's in a bit of a world of pain for me.
In professional sport, John, and you've been a professional cricketer for 15 years, were there ever players who lacked motivation who turned it around at some stage when they were 22, 23, or had the lesson been learned earlier?
Yeah, I think you learn some hard lessons along the journey, don't you? And the ones that fall by the wayside are the ones that just never really, come through with the goods. And I think Nick Kyrgios, for me personally, is sort of getting to that point now where it's almost you have to pull your socks up and get your hands dirty and do some work. Otherwise, he could fall off the face of the planet.
Yeah.
We hear Nick saying, I don't care. I didn't do this. I didn't do that. But do we know that for a fact?
No, I agree.
That's right. The point. Yeah. Nick is also that type of person that doesn't want to reveal everything he's doing.
Yeah.
He's not going to expose his inner feelings, emotions, thoughts, and all that. He's not the only one who's been in that sort of a situation. You keep that very close to his chest,
And I think even when he responded about the Davis Cup questions and it was as if he didn't care, of course he cares.
Yeah.
I think the real Nick Kyrgios inside would be going, I just want to go home here. I can't be bothered answering any questions. And
I know for a fact he doesn't like the travel. He does not like being away from home. He pines for the fact to have his mother or his sister or his brother, even his dad, to be out there on the road with him. He struggles. That I know he really struggles with. But he's a professional athlete. He's been in this for a while. You have to care.
That's right. And that's the biggest thing. Because I've travelled around the world and been lonely at times as well. You're away for 6, 7, 8 months of the time. But there's such an opportunity there for him to just go, right, okay, I'm going to do some hard work. I'm going to get the right people around me and then progress forward that way.
Hopefully. Todd Woodbridge was encouraged as well by a few of the comments that he made leading into the tournament about getting those right people around him. Andy Murray.
Sports psychologist aspect.
Andy Murray might be a role for him. After
you know, didn't you see my tweet?
No, I didn't.
Oh,
sorry.
Goodness gracious, at CrossCourt1. when Andy announced the whole retirement aspect and what's going to happen, the tweet I said, I'm putting this out there. Nick said that Andy, when in his tribute
little
to
brother.
Andy, was like a brother.
Yeah.
What about as a coach?
Oh, there you go.
So there you go.
Well, great minds think alike. There we go. let's get to a couple of Aussie wins from yesterday. Alex Bolt, great win against Jack Sock as well.
Yeah.
Because I think for people who don't know, Jack Sock, former
world top 10.
Yeah, world top 10. Also had gone past John Isner and was number one out of the US for a little while. Mm-hmm. So this is a good victory for Alex.
It is a good victory for Alex. Very good. I'm not downplaying his result. It's excellent. Jack Sock has just fallen off the planet when
what
it comes
has happened?
To
yeah,
oh, who knows? I mean, seriously. And he's one of Nick's good friends. You know, he might as well just give up singles at the moment. He's doing incredibly well in doubles, but he's in hoping that that's going to get him back into the singles rhythm, but he has just absolutely fallen off the singles plan. He's way past 100. He needed the USTA wildcard to get into the main draw, otherwise he would have been in qualifying.
Yeah.
And for somebody who's a year ago up at in the top 10 at number 8, won Paris-Bercy, which is a huge tournament, qualified, was I think the last in to qualify for the ATP Finals in 2017, he's just nowhere.
Well, what part of his game is letting him down the most at the moment?
His head, I think.
Yeah. That can be a big problem.
Yeah.
Yeah, massive.
Mental demons.
I'm not a huge Jack Sock fan. I don't really... I mean, obviously, if he's there and he's playing a prominent player, then you need to watch. But I don't necessarily go out of my way to watch Jack Sock.
Yeah.
We'll get through the winners from the Aussie side of things before we get on to the losers, which there's a lot to talk about too. Alexei Popyrin over Misha Zverev. Alexei, we spoke to a couple of weeks ago on the show and he was really looking forward to the Australian Open. He's into books, Alexei, which we discovered. He's a reader, quite an intelligent young man, and good to see him win over Sasha's older brother.
That is a great result. He got a wild card into the main draw. And Sasha Misha Zverev is a handy player, but that's a big effort. One of Popyrin's good friends is Alex Dimino. The first time I met him, both of them, in fact, was September 2015. They were part of the Junior Davis Cup team that went to Europe. They came through into Glasgow for the Davis Cup semifinals over there just to get to be around the players, get to meet them, see what that experience is all like. So that was the first time I actually met him. He's a tall guy, won Junior French. So... competent. Alex beat him in Sydney last week.
Yep. So I think bright things ahead for Alexei Popyrin.
Yeah, I mean, it's so good to hear that there's a young player out there that has some other interests outside of the tennis court itself, and to be able to sit down and read. And this is what, when I speak to any really young players, this is the sort of thing I encourage them to do. Find another interest. Go look at museums. Go look at galleries. Pick up some books. Go to the movies. Just build up things around you. Make yourself more rounded. The other person who's a big reader is Stefanos Tsitsipas.
Yeah, we spoke to him a couple of weeks ago, too.
Big reader. I think one of his favourite books is To Kill a Mockingbird.
Covered that one in school, I think. To Kill a Mockingbird.
Yeah, what a book.
It's a really good point, Craig, because being an athlete for a number of years, you can get caught up and it can all consume you. And if you don't have that outside passion, it can eat you up, the game.
Especially you guys as well. Cricketers can probably relate to tennis players more than most because you're away for 9 months of the year.
And I think, but the difference also is the cricketers are in a team environment.
Yeah,
these are all individuals.
Yeah.
They're out there on their own. And this, I go back to the example of Ray Ruffles, former player, turned coach, great guy. When he had Todd Woodbridge and Mark Woodford under his wing, when they were off finishing their training, finished practices, we're in London, we're going to the theatre.
Yep.
We're going to the West End.
So important.
It's so important for the development.
Yeah, interesting. Tsitsipas as well is a big photographer. That was one of the other things he spoke to us about, something a little bit
loves
different.
His photography.
Takes this huge camera. Everywhere. It's massive. Well, can't even fit it on hand luggage.
That's brilliant. That could pass some time.
He is good.
Yeah.
Beautiful pictures.
Oh, that's good.
Another one of the Aussies yesterday, or we might touch on the girls first of all. Unfortunately for Destiny Aiva, Alia Tomljanović, Daria Gavrilova and Sam Stosur, they're all knocked out of the tournament. Out of those, who is maybe the most disappointing? I thought Tomljanović had some great opportunities, especially in the... Yeah. I tell you what, if it was the old school tiebreak going to 7, she was up 6-4, it would have been 2 match points.
Tell me about it.
Unfortunately, Joanna Konta came out and went bang, and Tomljanović finds herself exiting in the first round.
I was disappointed. I really, really wanted her to win. I like her a lot. I'm not a huge Joanna Konta fan. So that was, I was encouraging her even more. But she did have her chances. It was a shame that she didn't sneak that one out. The two, I got to say, that were really disappointing, Daria Gavrilova.
Yes.
She's just not there.
We haven't seen a lot from her, but she was turning to her box and just absolutely giving him a spray, wasn't she?
Yeah, but that's Daria. That's Dasha as well.
Yeah,
she might be a Russian descent, but she's a good Aussie.
What has happened to Dasha?
Yeah, it's just the mind is just gone. There's no confidence. No confidence. You know, got engaged late last year to Luke Saville.
I hope that hasn't sent her down. Well, good morning, Luke. If you listen, it's not your fault.
But just hasn't got it at the moment. I think, you know, whether she needs to take a little bit of a step back, try to chill a bit. She's got the talent. She's got the ability. She's been able to do it. You know, I think it's, as you know, John, this level of sport, everybody can, you know, play backhands and forehands and hit sixes or fours or whatever, it comes down to the head.
Absolutely. That is spot on. That's the difference between the greatest, isn't it? You look at someone like a Roger Federer, and before the tournament he was just like, you know, I've been here, I've done it all, and I know I can navigate my way through certain situations. The mental side of a game like tennis is, huge. That's almost, as you said, that's almost better than a forehand down the line or across court or a gun serve.
Look, I always remember Boris Becker saying, you get to the fifth set of a match in a major, got nothing to do with the backhands and forehands.
Yeah.
Everything to do with the head.
For Daria Gavrilova, what's the next step? You mentioned maybe taking a step back for, you know, a month or so. What should she do now to get herself back into that upper echelon of women's tennis? Because she was never top 10 material, but she's someone who could push for a top 20, top 30 ranking.
Well, she's been top 20. She's just, 21 or something like that. So she can do it. And she's quick. Yeah, she's got great strokes, everything. She's got all the technical aspect. Mm. It's just getting the mind into gear all over again. And winning breeds confidence.
Yep.
You know, and that's what you need. You just got to be able to get your mind into focus to be able to do that.
Destiny Aiva, unfortunately, straight sets exit to Madison Keys, although that was half expected against the number 17 seed after Destiny got another wild card this year. Sam Stosur, disappointing.
She had her chances.
Yeah.
Up a break in the first, I think it was.
Yep.
And loses 7-5, 6-2 to Diana Yastremska, who's a very good young player. I haven't seen her play before. Mm. I've heard some good reports about her. And young, starting to make a bit of a breakthrough. But Sam again, yeah. You know? Australian Open, you know? It's the whole story again. Look, I went into her post-match yesterday. She was still pretty relaxed. That's Sam.
Yep.
The problem is she's so nice. That is a problem with Sam. Yeah. And, I said to her, I said, each year with these losses at the Australian, does it escalate the frustration? And she said, no, not really. She said, she hit the ball well. She said she feels good. And she's feels very encouraged about the year. And she said, it's the first tournament of the year. It's not the end. She said, there's still the whole year to go. So, and then the whole issue of the men's situation with Bernie and Hewitt and all that came up, yeah. And she started laughing. She said, maybe they need to watch us. So then I said to her, I said, so, Sam, is there any truth in the rumor that you want to kick out Alicia Molik? She said, what?
Before we get on to what's happening today at the Australian Open, your thoughts on the way things fell yesterday, Leighton Hewitt coming out and basically making it.
Didn't say anything, really. No. He didn't say anything. It was almost pointless.
Yeah, it was pointless.
Yeah.
Would he have been better off coming out and doing a press conference rather than a
20-second
interview?
That's what we were expecting.
Mm.
We were expecting to, the word was going around that he was going to be doing a press conference. Well, it never happened. Mm. I think what he said was, what was the point?
So. Yeah. Exactly. Mm-hmm. So.
Is there anything in that? Is it just, as he said, Bernie being Bernie, or is there just little whispers and,
Look, things, words have been simmering over the last year, 18 months. Mm. I know that Bernie and Leighton really don't get on. I know that. We all know that for a fact. There's been talk about, Nick and Thanasi as well, to a way lesser degree, but it certainly got magnified with Bernie's comments.
Yeah.
A couple of the fixtures coming
up. Sorry, and both guys refused to talk about it.
Yeah.
Nick and Thanasi.
Yeah, in their post-match press conferences. Yep. Couple of the Aussies in action today. We'll focus on, first of all, Ash Barty. Mm-hmm. She plays Wang from China. Yep. That's to take place the second match today on Rod Laver Arena. How do you see her going into this one? I think her form's been obviously fantastic, and she seemed to be hitting the ball well the other day after adjusting. Is this a potential banana peel, or should this just be a procession for Sam?
Straight sets for
Ash. Rather than Sam.
Yeah, straight sets for Ash on this one. They've not played in singles. I think they've played one another in doubles, but not singles. Yeah. Barty through.
We'll stick with Rod Laver.
Yep.
Matty Ebden. Mm. Rafa's coming up against every Australian.
It's going to be a Davis Cup tie.
Duckworth in the first and Matty Ebden in the second round. Yeah. Can he take a set off Rafa?
I don't think so.
Had a much improved year last
year. Huge
year.
Great huge year. I mean, inside the top 40.
Yeah.
It was a big, big stride for Ebden. A solid worker. He works so hard. It's just that Rafa is bigger, stronger, more experienced, knows more what has to be done on a feature night match on the main court of one of the majors. So I have no doubt that Ebden will do everything within his power to press and push Rafa. But yeah, Rafa, I think, even in straight sets.
Now, Alex de Minaur takes the court in the evening session at Margaret Court. He plays Henry
Laaksonen.
Laaksonen. Mm-hmm. Now, I know nothing about Henry Laaksonen. Tell us about him.
Yeah, Laaksonen has been around a little while, up and down. He's part of the Swiss Davis Cup team. That's where I got to see him and meet him a few times. He's obviously friends with Roger and a few of the other Swiss players. He came through the qualifying, so that's a big effort to qualify for a major. But Alex, straight sets.
All righty.
Yes, I like the sound of that.
Jeez, these are a few good starts for the Australians. John Millman takes on Roberto Bautista Agut. This is going to be a little bit harder, the 22nd seed.
The Murray Muncher.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He had a long night the other night against Andy Murray, but can you see John Millman challenging here?
This is a match that could go either way. I say that for a couple of reasons. Millman will not step backwards. He will just keep and keep and keep going at you. So that's the type of thing that Bautista Agut will not like. Also, Bautista Agut is coming off that high-profile emotional match against Andy Murray. And if you watch that match, he was up two sets to love, and he allowed Murray back in. And you look at Roberto's face, and he's starting to wonder, what am I going to do here? So he can be dodgy in those situations. Milman is just the type of guy that can bring that out in Bautista. So this one, I'm either way.
Jordan Thompson plays Andreas Seppi from Italy. That's to take place on Show Court 1 a little later on this afternoon. How are you sensing Jordan Thompson's chances? We've spoken about him a lot over the last couple of days.
The strangest name for a court that I've come across. 1573
Arena. We figured out what is 15.
It's a drink. It's a Chinese drink.
Right, okay.
Yeah.
Because it's everywhere in Australia.
Yeah. They've become a big sponsor.
Yeah, well, clearly. Show Court 1 is now 1573.
1573 Arena.
There you go.
Jordan, I like what I'm seeing from Jordan at the moment. Did well in Sydney. And against Andreas Seppi, Seppi's coming off of some form, reaching the final of Sydney.
Yep.
But he could also suffer a little bit of a letdown, having reached the Sydney final. So I'd probably lean towards Seppi, but I wouldn't be surprised if Thompson gets through.
And then the three young Australian women, Zoe Hives will take on Caroline Garcia. Astra Sharma will play Maria Sakkari, and also Kimberly Birrell, who we spoke to a little while ago on The Breakfast Club. She takes on Donna Vekic from Croatia. So any chance there? It's going to be tough for those youngsters, all playing seeded players except for Sharma. Can Sharma maybe win? No.
No.
No chance at all?
I don't think so.
All right.
Maria Sakkari is one of my names for this year.
Okay.
And I'm putting my hand up again. I predicted that win against Elena Ostapenko.
You sure did.
The money.
I'm glad you're not talking about the prediction from last
time. No, we didn't want to mention that. But,
it was close.
You were close.
It was close. A set and a breakdown.
That's right.
So I think Maria Sakkari will be too good for Astra Sharma, who I think will probably come down from the high of winning that first round. And then Kimberly Birrell. Donna Vekic is playing great tennis at the moment. So I think she's going to be too strong for Kimberly Birrell. And Zoe Hives is still very young, very new. Caroline Garcia can be a bit dodgy, but I think she'll maybe have a few dodgy moments in the beginning till she gets to see what Zoe Hives plays like, and then she'll take that one through.
Craig, thanks for your time this morning.
Okay.
We'll see you tomorrow bright and early, and hopefully a few more Australians through to the next round, 8 in action today. So it should be a packed day of tennis out there at Melbourne Park. Craig Gabriel to join us again tomorrow.